Are you unable to find the right GTD context for your tasks? Written and read by Francis Wade. Are you familiar with the context defined by the Getting Things Done GTD methodology developed by David Allen? For example, at home, at office, etc. If so, you may have discovered that the ones suggested in his book no longer fit your circumstances. Even if you've already replaced them with context of your own, consider taking a deeper dive. Those offered by the author in 2001 were based on solid principles which haven't changed. However, he did little to teach you how to select or design your own context. Consequently, like most GTDers, you probably struggled for a while trying to get the book's context to work. At first, you may have thought there was something wrong with your comprehension of the idea. But no matter how much you read and reread Chapter 9, followed Allen's subsequent explanations, or sought the counsel of others, nothing clicked. Eventually, you put together your own context or abandoned their use altogether. But perhaps you've wondered, did I do the best thing? You still lack any... You still lack an explanation of why contexts work, don't work, and whether they are even necessary. For you, this may be important as you look towards a future of even greater task loads, not less. Should context play a role in your task management or not? That's why I'm writing this article, to provide you with some answers and ultimately a sense of relief. By the end, you'll be able to use the same thought process David Allen used to choose contexts which work for you, regardless of your chosen task management system. This new appreciation builds on your current experience, giving you a path to follow. The background, a breakthrough. When Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity was published, the book introduced a major upgrade in the way you organize your to-do list. Once you got over the hump of not using your memory, you were taught to simply assign each task to a context. In the initial edition, Allen explained context as the primary decision to make when sorting through your task list. Quote, "The first thing to consider is, what could you possibly do where you are with the tools you have?" Unquote. Among the tools he listed are at phone, at specific persons, and at physical location. For the sake of simplicity, I have ignored the at waiting for and at someday context in this discussion, as they don't follow Allen's original definition. What benefits should result from this breakthrough approach? When a single long list of to-dos or tasks is broken down by context, you, quote, prevent unnecessary assessments of what to do, unquote. Fail to take this step, and you're forced to scan all of your tasks continuously, which becomes burdensome. When you happen to be within a particular context, you can take a shortcut by scanning other tasks which are tagged in the same way. For example, if you're in a meeting with your boss, you should check your at boss list, thereby saving time and effort. Let's call this convenience contingent task planning. Thinking in terms of context forces you to focus on the next action due to the challenge of confronting the physical resources required. It pushes you to be specific. Other criteria. But GTD goes further than recommending a list of contexts. It also suggests three other criteria when deciding what to work on next: time, energy, and priority, in descending order of importance. At the same time, Allen only advocates the use of GTD-defined context in task management programs and paper lists. He does not use the tags related to time, energy, or priority. In summary, the book attempts to solve the question of, quote, how do I decide what to work on in the next moment, unquote. Obviously, it's impossible to complete an action which requires a tool or tangible resource which is missing. That observation may explain why physical context figures so prominently in his thinking. Also, Getting Things Done does a great job of describing the benefits of using tags in contingent task planning. However, it hardly mentions their use in the important job of primary task planning. That is, how do you select which context to place yourself in tomorrow, next week, or next month? Now you are contending with 24 hour per day and 168 hour per week barriers which cannot be violated, a challenge which tags can help you overcome. What happens when things change? As we near the 20th anniversary of GTD's publication, is it fair to say that life is very different? Number one, the mobile high-speed internet has allowed us to gain unprecedented access to phones, people, and remote physical locations. Now we can do much more, regardless of where we are. Number two, COVID-19 has sparked the rise of working from home. No longer do we need separate at-home and at-office contexts. Number three, other technology improvements place amazing computing power at our fingertips, just waiting to be tapped via our smartphones, PCs, tablets, televisions, game consoles, cloud networks, etc. As a result of these changes, many GTDers have abandoned Allen's original context. However, the book fails to give any indication about what to do next. This conundrum is where our discussion really begins. Our goal in this article is to devise ways to organize our tasks so we are effective not only in 2021, but also in 2050 or any point in the future. We're on the hunt for enduring practical principles. Understanding why context worked. To get underneath and behind the specific recommendations Allen originally made, we need to understand a few timeless principles that GTD doesn't quite explain but relies on. Principle 1. Human beings started creating tasks long before the first mechanical clocks were invented in the Middle Ages. In fact, a task happens to be a psychological object with peculiar properties. What does that mean? When a task is born in your mind, it includes with it a number of attributes. These arise at the moment of creation. They address whatever concerns are uppermost for you, such as the task's importance, duration, location, cost, and likely time of execution. Most of these attributes sit in the subconscious, hidden from view. However, a few are made explicit by systems like GTD, which call for you to tag them once you need to work with them. Case in point, A. You may have noticed that after reading Getting Things Done, you became extremely aware of each task's context. Perhaps at first you entered this particular tag in your software apps and or paper planner lists. Case in point B. After reading First Things First by Stephen Covey, many readers became aware of two specific tags he borrowed from the Eisenhower Matrix: importance and urgency. As such, Allen, Covey, and Eisenhower didn't invent task attributes. Instead, these thought leaders helped you extract them from your subconscious. They recommend that you bring them out and make them explicit where you can benefit from their existence. Principle 2. The second unstated rule is that the technique of tagging should be used sparingly. In other words, it doesn't help to add every imaginable tag to your tasks. Why? The overhead of managing too many tags quickly becomes unbearable, even with the best made software or the smartest administrative assistant at your disposal. GTD implicitly recognizes this problem and urges the user to effectively ignore all tags except context. Therefore, any system you use should seek to minimize the number of tags, treating them as a useful but necessary evil. Principle 3. Getting Things Done offers a number of novel solutions to hard-to-solve problems which were outstanding in 2001 but have a different shape today. For example, almost everyone accepts that the use of personal memory for task management is a bad idea. However, the average 10 or 11-year-old who has only one or two things to remember each day need not read GTD. Instead, their use of memory might be sufficient. The same phenomenon occurs for some retirees. They are managing dramatically fewer demands on their time. Neither paper lists nor apps are necessary. They have reverted to the use of what psychologists call prospective memory, the kind of remembering we engage for future activities. These discoveries negate none of GTD's core message, but they do suggest a more nuanced picture. As I explained in Perfect Time-Based Productivity, Allen's suggestions are tailor-made for individuals who are in one of two special situations, but not for everyone. In general, the book was written for professionals who use either memory or a single unsorted task list and experience unwanted symptoms as a result. Why do these people have issues and not the 10-year-olds or retirees mentioned earlier? It's because there's a mismatch between the tool they are using and the volume of tasks they're trying to manage. To illustrate, imagine moving a hill of dirt with only a hand trowel and the relief you feel when you discover improved tools are available. You wouldn't hesitate to pick up a shovel, borrow a wheelbarrow, or rent an earth mover once you know these alternatives exist. Now, consider the individual who is using memory or a single unsorted task list. These techniques actually work just fine for a limited number of tasks. Their users don't experience errors or other unwanted symptoms. However, GTD targets those individuals whose task volume exceeds the capacity of these two approaches. The sense of relief they share is real. There is a way to escape the limitations of the tools and techniques they have been using. But that's not the end of the story. Is there also a limit to the application of getting things done? In other words, is the approach ideal for a given volume of tasks, but an impediment above a certain threshold? And if there is such a threshold, what should one use once it's exceeded? We'll answer this question in the next few paragraphs. Why and when GTD's contexts fail? If the final principle stated above holds any merit, how does it apply to the use of context or the broader use of tags? As we've seen, the contexts offered in the first edition are a tiny subset of the attributes we can make explicit. That reasoning seems logical. But does this application need to evolve when our environment changes? Or more to the point, it has already happened. Many GTDers are no longer using the specific context David Allen suggests in the first edition, maybe even a majority. But are the contexts originally suggested by the book now useless? Or are we making a mistake by not using them? Well, if we follow the three timeless principles behind GTD's approach, the answer is, it depends. In fact, here are four possible responses among many to the question, should someone use the context from getting things done? Answer number one, for the 10 to 11-year-old child or the retiree, they may have no use for context if their personal memory is sufficient. Answer number two, for the one single unsorted list maker, this person may have no use for context if their chosen combination of tools and techniques gets the job done. Answer number three, for the busy professional who can no longer use memory or a single unsorted list effectively, GTD provides an excellent solution. Answer number four, for the hyper-busy overachiever who routinely has no free time, tagging tasks using temporal attributes is far superior to the way GTD uses its context. In other words, contexts are best used when someone is trying to manage a particular task volume. Conversely, at higher or lower volumes, the approach is not the best choice. This is a more nuanced picture than the book offers. However, it's built on the same principles, but taken a step further. It rejects the idea that context should always be the top criterion used when deciding what to do next. Instead, there are other alternatives, such as the use of temporal tags. In the original 2001 book, Allen explicitly argues against using time-based tags and the resulting practice of placing tasks in one's calendar. Today, the technique is known as time blocking, calendar blocking, or time boxing. Readers who took his words literally have remained stuck, even as his thinking has evolved. The emergence of temporal tagging. What should someone who gives answer number 4 do differently? Well, instead of tagging their tasks using context, they would use temporal attributes. Some examples include duration, start time, due date, biorhythm, and monotaskability. The latter relates to the degree to which one can effectively undertake two tasks at the same time, such as walking and chewing gum at one extreme versus texting and driving at the other. Someone in this category would naturally gravitate towards habits like time blocking and time tracking. Their use of tools like calendars, auto-schedulers, administrative assistants, and time maps becomes second nature. While they will always experience a chronic lack of free or discretionary time, they are forced to program breaks in order to have a balanced life. Others advise these high achievers that they are trying to do too much and should cut back on their task volumes. A more fruitful response is to encourage them to look to the future and the advent of innovative habits, practices, routines, apps, tools, devices, and administrative assistants. These will be specifically designed to help them manage even more tasks. The new context. But what about the busy professional who chooses answer number 3? This response represents the majority of GTD users for whom there is no need to switch to temporal tagging. Instead, if you fall in this category, you may only require a modern approach to replace the standard use of context. To find a solution, let's attack the question using the 3 unstated principles. For the sake of clarity, I'll avoid any reference to temporal tags whatsoever, such as weekends, evenings, tomorrow. I will explain how they can be incorporated later. As I mentioned, there are always an array of tags to select from your subconscious list. How many? There are new suggestions every day, which means that the list is probably infinite. Here is a link to a download of brainstormed set of attributes plus their suggested values. But more importantly, how should you decide which tags to use? What are the reasons to choose one tag or some tags over the others? If we take a close look at the context GTD suggests, we may agree that David Allen selected the ones which mostly represented the scarcest attribute he could find firsthand: physical resources. My research suggests a universal task tagging rule. When choosing tags, always pick ones which correspond to the scarcest resources you can identify. Also, pick the fewest number. In your case, how can you identify which resources are the scarcest? Ultimately, you require an in-depth evaluation of your current setup and the places and moments where you experience problems in your task management. Here are some possible examples, followed by some values they could take. Example 1, flow state, high, medium, low, or not applicable. Example number 2, cash, free, $1 to $500, $501 to $1,000, $1,001 to $5,000, $5,001 plus. Example 3, manpower, solo, partner, trio, 4 plus. Example 4, energy or strength, high, medium, and low. Example number 5, mentality, work, vacation, holiday, weekend, evening. Example number 6, profitability, high, medium, and low. Remember, here is a brainstorm list of tags you can download. When you identify the scarce resource, apply the tags in the same way getting things done uses context, as a method to focus your attention on a subset of all your tasks. How many tags should you use? My recommendation is to start with a single primary tag for all your tasks. Experiment to see how well it fits your needs. Only if you experience a significant shortfall, consider an additional secondary tag. I suspect that if you find yourself wanting tertiary tags or more, you probably should consider an upgrade to temporal tagging. If this is the case, check out my book and the resources at scheduleu.org. It may also be time to consider temporal tagging if you find yourself wanting to make more detailed schedules than Getting Things Done recommends. This becomes a natural concern for people whose task load keeps increasing. At some point, for them, the benefits of contingent task planning are dwarfed by the gains to be made by primary task planning. In other words, your decisions to place yourself in particular contexts tomorrow, next week, or next month are generally far more important than the secondary tasks you happen to perform while in those contexts. For example, your core decision to spend next week Friday in either at plane, at LA office, or at home NYC is more critical than the task you find it convenient to complete because you are in each location. It's the difference between worrying about what you should do while on vacation versus making the multifaceted decision to go in the first place. Unfortunately, the better you follow Getting Things Done, the more likely you are to use the benefits to increase your task volume. As you feed off your success, your free time disappears and time-based trade-offs become more difficult to make. To help you navigate this predictable challenge, start using rudimentary temporal tags such as at tomorrow, at next week, and at weekend. They'll help you begin to make the mental shift required if you are new to temporal tagging. A final note of caution. If you're like most people, you may not need to change anything in your current setup right away. Bookmark this article for a time when you require it. Or you may require some immediate changes. Perhaps you're experiencing significant unwanted symptoms and are committed to handle more tasks effectively. The challenge you face is to determine the magnitude of the shift. For example, if you are currently using context, do you need better tags for your lists? Answer number 3. Or require a switch to temporal tagging? Answer number 4. I can't answer for you, but I do recommend you be somewhat cautious. Tinkering with your task management system is a real-time experiment. It's a bit like changing a wing while you're still flying the plane. Proceed at your own pace and maybe use the resources in Perfect Time-Based Productivity to get a better understanding of your current practices, tools, and devices. That assistance could give you the insight you need to proceed with some confidence. Summary. While GTD doesn't offer much help in migrating from its suggested use of context, its success is based on some principles. If there were a science of task management, David Allen's work would be seen as a great start. However, the onus is on the reader to go the extra mile and choose the tags which make the most sense given a particular task volume. This evergreen approach will last the test of time and give you both power and flexibility. Coming next in the series, how to transition from context to temporal tags.